first of all, we got to get off this high horse. Tom Brady is gone. There will be a significant drop off in quarterback place. He's had the opportunity to sit behind the best to ever do it. We know Bill Belichick to be one of the better evaluators of football players, not quarterback per se, but football players. I believe in giving Jerry Stidham a chance, and I'm giving him benefit of the doubt that he can do it.
When Tom Brady announced he was moving on from the Patriots in March, speculation immediately kicked in over who would step into his sizable shoes. Would the Patriots trade up for Tua or Justin Herbert? Or replace Brady with Jameis Winston? What about Andy Dalton? None of that happened. And as the offseason rolls on, it seems increasingly likely that Bill Belichick is rolling with Jarrett Stidham, the team's fourth-round pick last year. Today, we take a look at that decision and ask, could Stidham be the answer? Or is he a stepping stone to another quarterback in next year's draft? I'm Mina Kimes. It's Thursday, May 7th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. Mike, how you holding up?
Mina, we're doing great. We're healthy. I hope the same for you and all our listeners.
Mike Reese covers the New England Patriots for ESPN. Well, Patriots fans have a lot of questions, so we're going to get to that. Actually, I think everybody does about the New England Patriots right now. To me, I think they're the most interesting team in the NFL at the moment.
I love it, Mina. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, how do you feel about covering the Patriots now that Tom Brady isn't there? And I said, well, you know, that part is not the greatest feeling, but when you think about compelling storylines, what could be more compelling than what we're going into here, which is how are they going to replace arguably the greatest quarterback of all time?
And that is what we are going to discuss. So, Mike, it is early May, and there is still a very long way to go until the regular season begins. And obviously, there are questions about that. But at this moment, the two quarterbacks on the Patriots depth chart are Jarrett Stidham, the Auburn quarterback who New England drafted in the fourth round in 2019, and journeyman backup Brian Hoyer. For months, there's been speculation about whether they would draft someone. They did not. Whether they would sign Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton, they did not. So let's start here. Is Jarrett Stidham the guy at the moment?
Well, there's no question, Mina. It's his job to lose. I would say the Patriots aren't going to say Jarrett Stidham's the guy because they don't want to put more pressure on him than is already on him. It's one thing to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but it's another to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots after Tom Brady leaves. They really hope he's the next guy, but they are protecting themselves, you know, with having Brian Hoyer behind him just in case things go off track.
So I have many questions about Jarrett Stidham and what you know about him and what you've seen from him. But before we get to those, I want to talk about how we got here. Let's back all the way up until after the Super Bowl. At the time, was it a completely foregone conclusion that Brady would leave, or was it still more of an open question?
Well, you know, that's so interesting because it probably depends on who you ask. Like, in retrospect, we heard Tom Brady say that he probably knew that his time with the Patriots was ending, entering last season. And only a few really had that intelligence.
Yeah.
We know a lot more now of Tom Brady's mindset than we did back then. I would say from the Patriots' perspective, they probably weren't thinking necessarily along those lines because it's my understanding that, you know, they were sort of waiting in a way to hear back from Tom and his agents as free agency opened. And really, I would say that was never on Tom Brady's radar to go back to the Patriots. He had sort of said, you know what, this is what's out there. Let's move forward. Time to say goodbye.
Greeny, it is now official. Tom Brady will be leaving the New England Patriots. He will be playing his career elsewhere.
So very early in free agency, the news drops. Tom Brady announces he is going to Tampa Bay. At that point, there were still a number of free agents out there, trade options. Who were some of the players being named as possible candidates for New England?
So at that time, they're looking at their situation and they're saying, all right, we have 13.5 million on our salary cap devoted to Tom Brady, and he's not even going to be here anymore. Yeah. So that, Mina, was really going to dictate the direction that they were going to go at quarterback, because they were going to be hamstrung by the financial situation. So at that point, they're thinking patience. Like, let's see what opportunities come to us, more so than let's be proactive and go get something that's out there. And the reason they were thinking that way was there's some intrigue with Jarrett Stidham, right?
Mike, you mentioned that the Pats are fairly hamstrung by their cap situation, but a lot of these contracts have been pretty small. I mean, Jameis signed in New Orleans for about $1 million guaranteed, Andy Dalton to Dallas for $3 million. Do you think either of these guys were realistic options for New England?
I don't, Mina, and I think it's a very fair point. Like, Jameis's contract can't get much smaller than that, right? And the reason why I don't think he was an option for the Patriots, you know, first and foremost, when I listen to Bill Belichick talk about what he values in quarterback play, he talks about accuracy and decision making. And I just don't see it with Jameis. And specific to Andy Dalton, now, when he comes available, the dynamic in the Patriots quarterback room has changed because they've since added Brian Hoyer. Now, if you're the Patriots, you look at it and say, okay, we have Brian Hoyer on a cheap deal similar to Jameis Winston's deal, and he knows our system. We know him. It's his third time with us. And we have Jarrett Stidham. If we added Andy Dalton, even at that quality contract, is that going to sort of lessen the ability of Jarrett's voice to sort of take hold and maybe grab hold of the team? You know, are you putting too much around him where you almost compromise his ability to grow into that role?
So there is still a veteran quarterback out there. He is a former MVP. There are a lot of questions about the status of his health. I am speaking, of course, of Cam Newton. Now, Mike, I would think there's probably some assumptions about what Cam would demand in salary, although I look around, I don't see landing spots for him. Ostensibly, there isn't competition for his services right now. Do you think it's at all plausible that New England might be interested?
I would say no. And I would say they want to see more of what they have. And if that doesn't unfold the way that they hope it does, then I would say all bets are off, because anything is possible at that point. But Mina, I think on this one, like, the health is a factor. You don't know how healthy is Cam, and you can't even bring him in to really get that thorough look at him. And then I think you probably have to ask, just culture-wise, if you're going to make that move, is it as the clear-cut number one, or is it to compete for the job? And again, you're so intrigued by what you see in Jarrett Stidham. This could grow into something. You want to be careful what you put around him that might compromise the ability for that to grow. And that's why, I put Cam in that same category of why the Patriots are staying away from him.
So what I'm hearing is this is more about Stidham than anything, than money or fit, perhaps. And it sounds like you've been asked this a lot. Why not Jameis? Why not Andy? Yeah. Why not Cam? And you keep saying, it's Stidham. It's Stidham.
Yeah.
It's Stidham.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think also in saying that, Mina, though, we have to acknowledge, like, this wasn't Bill Belichick saying, like, hey, we got our guy, we're good moving on from Tom Brady. There's still a spot here, Mina, that's like, this could go in the wrong direction. They don't know for sure, because until Jarrett Stidham actually goes out and does it, you don't know how a player's going to react to the adversity, and inevitably, there's going to be some adversity.
Headed into the draft this year, did you think it was possible the Patriots would take a quarterback at some point?
I did, Mina. And I think if I hold myself accountable, if I go back to my exact verbiage, I said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so I would qualify that in saying they did add two undrafted quarterbacks. So, I mean, to me, that's like taking them in round eight, if that makes sense. And that's sort of what I meant when I was saying, like, there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to add a quarterback. I think when they decided to do it would tell us a lot about how they view what they have in Jarrett Stidham and complimenting him, Brian Hoyer.
afterwards, Bill Belichick said, you know, we didn't go in not intending to take quarterback.
If we feel like we find the right situation, we'll certainly draft them. We've drafted them in multiple years and multiple points in the draft. Didn't work out the last 3 days. That wasn't by design.
What do you think he meant by that?
So great question. And here's what I think he meant. It's the first round of the draft, and three of the top quarterbacks go in the first six picks. So if one of them, either Tua or Herbert, starts to slide and the Patriots are sitting at number 23, then it was possible, right, that the Patriots could make a move for one of them. Or, Mina, I think the other thing he meant by that is if we didn't trade away our fourth round picks and we were sitting there and we saw someone like James Morgan available to us, we might have considered picking a guy like that in the fourth round. The opportunity to pick maybe the quarterback that I project they liked just didn't fall to them, in part because of a move they made by just simply trading away those fourth round picks.
All right, after the break, let's talk about Jarrett Stidham and why the Patriots seem to like him so much. Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
With the 133rd pick,
Jarrett Stidham.
Mike, when New England drafted Stidham in the fourth round last year, you wrote that he was squarely on the team's radar. He was a pre-draft visitor to Foxborough. Tell me, what was it about his college tape at Auburn that you think stood out to the Patriots?
One of the things, Mina, that the Patriots look for in a quarterback, it's sort of this like maturity, this leadership, this command. And I think they saw that in Jarrett Stidham. First and foremost, like the idea is we're adding a quarterback who's going to be in a room with Tom Brady. That's not easy. So the quarterback has to have these intangibles to be able to thrive in that setting. And then I would say the arm talent. Jarrett Stidham had a NFL caliber arm in their view that he could make all the throws. And to maybe compare that to like a quarterback this year, I think Jake Fromm of Georgia was a quarterback that many looked at and sort of said, oh, that could be a good Patriot quarterback. Mina, my sense was they felt like the arm wasn't the same. And so the ceiling for a player like that is a little lower. Maybe you're thinking, hey, he could be a good backup. But with Stidham's arm, like, we got a chance to be a starter.
So why was he available in the fourth round?
Well, this was a case where his final year at Auburn simply wasn't as good as his first year at Auburn. And if you dig deeper, people will tell you there's different reasons for that. I actually talked to his coach, Gus Malzahn, last week about why it was different for Stidham his second year. And part of that was two of their top receivers had knee injuries and weren't there. And others say their offensive system was a little bit different and maybe didn't bring out the best in Jarrett Stidham. And you're always making a projection. When you're taking a quarterback, it's like, how are they going to fit in your system and what you're going to ask them to do? And the Patriots are a unique system in that regard in terms of quarterbacks, you know, have to set the protection and be very smart. And I think they saw signs of that with Jarrett Stidham that they could grow in New England, but maybe an Auburn system didn't always come to the forefront.
What about in the preseason? Stidham's only attempted 4 regular season passes, but he did play in the preseason last year and played fairly well. Do you think the Patriots saw something there that made them confident this year?
Definitely. And I think we always put the context in that it's preseason, right? But Mina, he had the best preseason of any rookie quarterback under Bill Belichick's tenure with the Patriots.
Stidham going back down the right sideline. This time for Thomas. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's what he does.
And what I saw was, one, he got the offense in and out of the huddle, which sounds very basic. But for a rookie coming into the Patriots system, it's not an easy system. And he also showed a little mobility.
Third and 13, a lot of room for Stidham. He'll take advantage of it into a slide and another first down.
He made plays with his legs as much as his arm. And when we think about the contrast between what Tom Brady did for the Patriots and his style of play, that's one thing that stands out. Like, Stidham's a little more in line with the new age of quarterbacks that we see that are winning as much with their arm and their legs. So that to me is an interesting part of this transition to watch.
So Mike, I am loath to use the words Belichick and tanking in the same sentence, and I shall not. However, do you think it's possible that they look at Stidham as an option that can bring them great and unexpected upside or lucrative downside headed into a draft where Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields will be available at quarterback?
Well, I think there is something there. I might not word it exactly that way. I think you want to know what you have in Jarrett Stidham. And how do you find that out? You have to play him. And you have to see how he responds. And if he responds the way you hope, you have your answer. If he responds the way you hope it doesn't unfold, well, now you know you're back in the quarterback mix, and you might be back in the quarterback mix in the draft with a pretty good pick. And that's sort of the way I would dissect it.
That's a very nice way to put it. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Mina.
Coming up, baseball isn't happening in America right now, but baseball cards seem to be hotter than ever. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Here's another story I want you to know. If you've been listening to this podcast, you may remember our episode on a baseball card mystery. And while I don't want to claim cause and effect, I was pleased to read in Sports Illustrated that online videos of people opening boxes of cards, a practice called breaking, are experiencing a bit of a bounce amidst the quarantine. Now, if you've never seen one of these videos, and I will confess I had not before now, they look like this. A narrator shows off a box. Then he opens it and dumps several packs of cards out and rips them open, pack after pack, showing off the cards inside. These so-called breaks are live-streamed for hours, with thousands of viewers hopping on to see what's inside the packs. You can participate by chatting or buying the cards before they're opened, essentially betting on what's inside. According to the SI story, which was written by Emma Boccellari, people will sign up for, say, all of the Mariners cards while someone else buys all of the Red Sox ones, without knowing which specific cards they'll get. After the stream ends, buyers receive the cards in the mail. So breaking has been a thing for a while, apparently, but with more people at home with time on their hands, the videos are more popular than ever. Boccellari spoke with a dealer named Chris Justice, great name, who told her that views of his breaking streams and videos have nearly doubled recently, and that his card sales business is up 25%. Another breaker, Larry Franco, told SI that views in April for his streams rose 20 to 30%. He compared them to Cheers because they tend to draw the same fans over and over, and like the sports bar, in the chant, everybody knows your name, which might be the reason so many people are logging on. To be sure, they miss baseball, but they also miss the community that sports can provide. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.